Let's go to Genesis 26, 1. Thank you, Jesus. We're training. We're winning. Tell me when you get there. We'll start. Whoo, I feel something. Thank you, Lord. 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 I just keep hearing the Spirit of God say to reach. Just reach. So we're reaching. Amen. We're just reaching. I told the thermostat something I want to tell you. Sometimes silly things come up that you're going to pray or say, and you're like, what does that mean? Why do I want to say that? But you find out later that they actually, now this is what prophetic people call it. It doesn't mean dark like devil, but dark speech. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what dark speech is. It means that there's a hidden purpose for the reason you're saying something. So it's not really dark as in darkness. It's just a word used. For example, Phil Halverson kept praying candy and cookie, candy and cookie, candy and cookie. And he's like, why am I praying for candy and cookies? Come to find out that was Brother Hagin's grandchildren's name. Yeah. See, so sometimes you think you're praying for something silly and you're not. So we were praying in the thermostats just the other day and I said, a pigeon will carry it. Remember? A pigeon will carry it. Well, then Robin Bullock the next morning said, a bird will take a message, da, da, da. The bird will tell, you know. He said that the next morning. So things have been heard in places by the prophets, and we're going to see things declared and things happened. If that's too deep for you, then dig a little harder. All right, now, 26:1, Genesis 26:1, there was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar. That's like Gaza. Okay, it's the Gaza area. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy Abraham, thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, what we see from the scripture is that God has a specific land that he wanted to give to the people. Now, that's 101 for us. We all get that. God wanted the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, to have the land of Israel. We get that. It started with Abraham. So now he made a covenant promise with Isaac's father, who is Abraham here, to give him the land and then give it to his offsprings. Amen. Now, even though there was a famine, the promise of God was on the man to change the land. Come on. So I hope you got that. Because the land needed Isaac to be there. Okay? He was wearing the blessing. Joseph didn't need Egypt as much as Egypt needed Joseph. Okay? Needed him. So Joseph didn't find his dream in Egypt. As, you know, all the people who preach, you know, the providential, all that stuff, you know. But Joseph took his dream with him. He was carrying his dream. The Lord just liked that. I felt him. He was carrying that with him. Did he need to go? Yeah. But it who knew that it had to be that way? It all worked out. People were like, well, he had to go through that. Well, he went through it, but maybe he didn't. I don't know. I don't think he had to. But I know that God didn't cause him to fall into the pit. I do know that Judah got him out, and Judah means praise. So if you need to get out of the pit, just praise God. Okay. Now, so, but you know, once God promises you that something will support you, then it will support you. Come on. He promises that the blessing will support you. So it will. He promises that the anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes. So it will. He promises healing. He promises deliverance. He promises protection. And so they will. Okay, you see what I'm saying. So we know that they will. So, but the place is important too. We're not neglecting that or saying that doesn't matter because it was a covenant land. Now, Elimelech, you remember what he did. He was Naomi's husband. He left the land of promise in a famine.
Yeah.
He went out of covenant boundaries. Mm-hmm. He made a decision out of his flesh, mm-hmm. and he moved out of covenant boundaries. And what happened? All the guys died. Naomi and Ruth come back, and then they live well. Because they got back into, are you hearing me? They got back into covenant boundaries. So Isaac stayed in the covenant boundaries. So I want to talk to you tonight about gaining momentum in 2022. And as odd as it sounds, the way, number one way to gain momentum is to stay. Stay and obey. And, you know, now if you look at a map, if you can see a map of Israel, Isaac moved around about 10 times, okay? He was born over in Beersheba. That's where Abraham and Sarah lived, and Abraham had dug a well there, and it was home, you know. We're going to talk about wells in just a little while. And then, you know, he had to go to Mount Moriah with his father, and then he went to Beer Lehairoi, I think it's called. I don't know how to pronounce it. But so that's where he went and married Rebecca and had the twins. Okay. And so then he goes to Gerar during the famine. And, you know, they have the deal with Abimelech, which is interesting. Isn't that interesting? He repeated what his father did. He had a pretty wife, and he said it was a sister. So they had to straighten things out. Evidently, that was what they did in those days, because that's twice there. Either that or that DNA was pretty heavy. I don't know. And then he went to a place called Essek, and that's after Abimelech let him leave Gerar. And then he went to Sitna, and then he went to Rehoboth, which means plenty, and then back to Beersheba, and then he was buried in Hebron. He died there. So he's in all these places, but imagine to you that would be like Marble Falls, Kingsland, what's the Spicewood, maybe Jonestown. You know, if those of you that have been to Israel, you realize everything's pretty close. Yeah. So he's moving around the area, but he's in covenant boundaries, okay? And so when God tells him to go to Gerar, he's down there by Gaza, and he's going to go there, and he's going to do something good there. Amen. Yeah. And but he's staying where God told him to go. So he obeyed, and he stayed. Now, what we're doing to stay is we're staying in the local church. This is the smartest thing you can do in 2022 is stay in the local church. The Bible says in Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. So you flourish when you're planted. Amen. That's when you do well. Now, so he obeyed and he stayed. Now, number two, he sowed. So first he stayed and then he sowed. Okay. Now, keep in mind that he's a covenant man. So look down at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, wait a minute here. So he goes and he sows and he's getting 100-fold in the famine. Come on. We looked at the our end of the year numbers today. Danny showed them to us today. We did very well. You're going to do very, very well.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Because now so he sowed And it said he received in the same year 100-fold. So if you're in covenant with Almighty God and you're staying within the covenant boundaries and you sow, it doesn't matter, famine or no famine, you're going to prosper. You know, they used to, Brother Copeland would go preach over in these hard places where there was nothing, desert places, some in Africa, some out on these Indian reservations. They had nothing but rocks to give. But when he taught them to give the rocks, they were walking to church. They had nothing. But when he taught them to just give something, he shows up a year later and they're all pulling up in pickup trucks. And they say, well, you know, you can't preach the prosperity message over in the desert. That's exactly where you better preach it. They're the people that need it. Amen. They need to prosper. So you're going to get a harvest. Now that's a spiritual law, church. You're going to get a harvest. So the land was good ground. Now you have to sow into good ground. So what is the hundredfold? That is Miasharim in Hebrew. Miasharim. And, you would say this. You would say 100 times as much as you sowed and then more. Or, and then higher. So you're going to receive 100 times or more. That's what this is saying. So he received 100 times and more as he sowed. Okay. That's what hundredfold means. It can go way up. So this would be the key, the picture you should get. You're going to receive as much as the ground, will let it. It's going to produce as much as the ground will let it. Therefore, you must have sow into good ground. So when it comes to, if we're talking about words, you're going to have to sow into the good ground of your heart. So you're going to have to get the thorns out. You're going to have to get the stones out. You're going to have to get all the weeds out so that you have good ground. You sow into it, and then you're going to be start getting hundredfold results in your thinking, in your action, in your reaction, in your life. You're going to start having a different kind of life when you sow enough word into your heart, which would be your spirit. And when it comes to finances, good ground is a producing ministry. It's not the, won't you help me, won't you help me, we're going down if you don't help me. Now, if you do help them, God will repay you. That when you minister to the poor and you give something to the poor, you'll get repaid by God. But when we're talking about sowing seed into good ground, we're talking about a ministry or a person who is actually has momentum and they're already harvesting. Okay? So, you know, a lot of people get this mentality, well, you know, you don't want to give to so-and-so. They already have a lot of givers and they already have a lot of money and they're already doing really well. Let's pick that person over in the corner who's not doing anything. That's what you call a bag with holes in it. I'm not saying not to help them, but I'm saying there's a different return on that. Okay, so don't misunderstand me. We're called to help the poor, but we're called to teach them to be not to be poor anymore, not just a handout all the time. Teach them to fish, not just give them a fish, right? That's what they used to say. So that's why you see people that are blessed getting more blessed because they're such good ground. Now we're kin to a lot of good ground. We are. And man, has it produced a harvest in my life. But, several of the ministries we give to. The church gives to a lot of things. Poor. We give to poor. We give to a lot of ministries. You know them. You know the number one we give to, KCM. Brother Jerry, Brother Jesse, Nancy Dufresne, Mrs. Holler, Derek and Jennifer, Billy Brim. We've given to Billy Brim for years and years. The Kufi, Aliyah, so the list goes on and on. That's what we are. We're givers, okay? And we just had a meeting today. We're going to start giving to something here in the community once a month and some finances into it. And so we're doing that, but we're going to give to good ground and then we'll help the poor as the Lord leads. Okay. So in case you wondered about us, that's what we do. That's what you're doing now. So Number three then, though. Now, this is the one you got to get. He reaped. You have to reap your harvest. This is not automatic, church. You got it? So he stayed, he sowed, and number three, he reaped. In order to reap your harvest, you need words. You need faith first, or word, you use words to build your faith. You need faith, you need confession, and you need declaration. That's my harvest, I have it. And you need, this is a part of faith. Those things I said after faith are a part of faith. But you have to have some expectation. Because once you've sown the seed, and it goes into the good ground, and you don't pull it up by saying, I never get anything. Because then you got the thorny ground stuff going on. But once you do that and you get first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and it's ready for the harvest, harvest time. Now, Debbie Clark is a farmer's daughter. Is harvest time the most expensive time of year?
It is.
So see, you got to do something during that harvest time. You're going to have to use some faith, use some words, and you may even sow some more seeds. Because it's the most expensive time of the year. But so he reaped the harvest. He didn't go, woo, doggy, look at there. Look at all that in the field. Sound like Jed Clampett. Anyway, look at all that out in the field. Praise the Lord. And it just, no, you have to reap your harvest. Hey, that's my harvest. That's my harvest. I take that in Jesus' name. That's my, you start talking to it and you bring it in. Now, Genesis 26:12 said, then Isaac planted seed in the land as a farmer, and he reaped in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord blessed him and favored him. So when you start reaping, you're going to start seeing favor. Favor will be part of that harvest. Church, favor is a big part of your life. A big part. People that you know are a big part of your harvest. Right connections, divine connections. That's a big part. Business deals require people. Mm-hmm. Ministry, divine connections require meeting people. There's people that you get involved with on whatever level. Amen. So, praise the Lord. He's blessed and favored. Now, number four, this is an interesting one. He dug. D-U-G. He dug. Abraham was a man of altars. Jacob was a man of tents. But Isaac was a man of wells. He dug wells. That's what he did. He's a well digger. That's what he is. Okay. Now, so he also knew God would provide in a lot of different ways, not just one. He knew God would provide from more than one well. So he's got all these herds, he's got everything going, and he's digging wells because everybody needs water. And so he digs wells and has success, okay? Now, we'll talk more about that here in a minute, but what I want to say to you is God has a million ways to bless you. You can stop your own prosperity by just looking at one well. I don't know if I'd say this here, but I thought about it today. I think I will. Remember Rich Dad, Poor Dad? See, Poor Dad was the one who just got an education and became a professor at a college. He's stuck in that all the days of his life. He does that all the days of his life, and when they're finished with him, it's over. But Rich Dad, the neighbor down the street, he knew he was dabbling in all these things. Well, that's how Isaac was. He found out how to do many things, and he knew to dig more than one well. Ecclesiastes says, cast your bread upon the water. How many times? 7 or 8 ways. Look at the avenues. Look at, don't just depend on things coming to you in one way. That's good for the entrepreneur group. Praise the Lord. If you think just one way, you're going to oppose yourself. Okay? Amen. Y'all still here? Yes. Now then, here's the fun part. There are spiritual wells. There are spiritual wells to drink from. There are wisdoms, there are teachings, there are words, there are visitations, there are encounters for, in the other realm. And you keep digging, you keep seeking, you keep going toward God, and you'll hit a gusher in some of these wells. Amen. Now, Isaac not only dealt with famine, but he dealt with the Philistines. Because they kept stopping up his wells. They were very jealous of him, and they would go in and just try to cover him up. Okay? So he would go back and dig something else out, and I'm just telling you, you gotta keep digging. And, he dug until he found the place of no striving. And that was Rehoboth. Okay? And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we will be fruitful in the land. So he got to the place where he needed to be. He got to that honey well, I guess. He got to that one that was such a good one and it was a gusher. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And he dug and he dug and he dug until I'm getting an extra download right here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's what we were talking about, wasn't it? So, he prospered and he ended up in a roomy place. He kept digging wells until he got it right. And he cleaned them out. Now, I would say too, that the wells that our fathers have dug, our spiritual fathers have dug in the past, the people in our history that had these experiences, these moves of God, that we've talked about so often, these moves of God, these awakenings and these revivals, those wells have to be redug. And that's what the ecclesia is doing right now. Because we're going to drink from the former and the latter rain together. See? And so Azusa Street, all the Red River stuff, all the even wells, I mean, all of these things we will get to partake of as we redig these wells in our own lives. Okay. God's ready for that. Can I tell y'all something fun? I'm almost done. I want to tell you something fun. So I was listening to Robin Bullock. And he was telling an old story about when they had this prayer meeting and only 8 people showed up. Did anybody hear that? Deb did, I think. We might have been listening to it together. So the 8 people get together and they're facing each other and they start praying. And in a minute, he's, I don't know if I was in the spirit, in the body or out of the body, but he's in heaven. Uh-huh. And I mean, he's looking at this marble floor and he's looking at, I won't tell all the details. It was pretty intricate. Yeah. Yeah. It had black grout and I mean, it was just beautiful. And he's telling all the whole description of it, what's going on there. I'll leave the rest out. You can go listen to it. But when he comes back, he says, brother, I got to tell you something. The other guy goes, I got to tell you something. No, I got to tell you something. And so they're going back and forth. He says, okay, you go first and I'll tell you. And he says, I just went to heaven and there were marble floors with black grout and so-and-so was there. I think Paul was there and some of the other patriarchs were there. And then he says, and Robin, you were there. So they both went on a visitation together. And they're like, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care. I believe the prophet and I know stuff like that happens because I've had some pretty heavenly experiences. And I'll tell you, that's some exciting places for people to go. And that's when you're having some great encounters. Anyway, I thought that'd be fun for you to enjoy, and you can go hear that. Now, so all through this time with Isaac, God is confirming his promises. That's what you need to know. And all through 2022, God's going to be confirming his promises, his precious promises to you. You saw our prophet doing that, Brother Copeland, talking about the precious promises. And God's going to spend this year, glory to God, He's going to spend this year reconfirming these precious promises over and over and over to us. He's going to let you know, I said it, I meant it, they're yours. Expect them, harvest them, live in them. Because when you live in them, you can reach people. You'll be an influence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I tell you all the time, you need two things if you're going to minister to people.
Anointing and money.
Yeah, that's right. Some anointing and some money. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have any anointing, you can't remove burdens and destroy yokes. And if you don't have any money, you can't get there to remove the burdens and destroy the yokes. You can't even get out of town. Or you can't send the person to go out of town. So don't give me that stuff about being humbly poor. Because it's not Bible. Praise the Lord. Now, God's promised this and He can't lie, church. Jesus took the curse so that you could be blessed. The blessing is confirmed on your life. What God has blessed cannot be cursed. The only way you're going to give away your freedom is if you give it away yourself. If you shut the blessing down. If you shut the favor down. You're the only one that can do that. You're the only one that can make you lose. So that just kills all the victim mentality out right there. Because you can't say, they made me. Because you don't have to let them make you. It is your choice. And I'm telling you, our choice is that we're going to reap a harvest. That we're going to stay in covenant boundaries so we can hear these promises. We're going to sow seed. We're going to reap harvest. And we're going to dig the wells of revival. And every other kind of well you need to dig. Amen. Now then, this is the results. The results are momentum. When we do these things, we have momentum. And the man waxed great, and he went forward, and what did he do? He grew until he became very great. So, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. So he had a lot of people working for him. And the Philistines envied him. If you prosper, if you're anointed, somebody won't like you. Just get used to it. There will be some kind of persecution. So just go ahead and just know that you got a hundredfold return coming according to the scripture. There's persecutions, right? Because there, somebody, some religious somebody is not going to like it if you're in the prosperity message. But I want you to know that the Church of the Living God is changing their ways. It used to be only the Word of Faith people that believed in anything. At least now they're, it's over into the charismatics. They're now stopping to think that God's putting sickness on them and all that kind of stuff. They're now coming into the truth. They're coming into the truth that God didn't put a disease on you to purify you and all that junk, all that religious junk. God didn't do it. So it's so wonderful that we, by grace, ended up in this camp. Isn't it, Dee? What a wonderful thing that we ended up just knowing this for 30 years, and now all of a sudden, the church is knowing it. We found out. I mean, so interesting. We've been hearing Brother Hagin talk about the believer's authority for half of my life. I've heard it. And he taught it all my life. And now people, other preachers are coming up saying, we found out we have authority in the earth. We're like, yes, come on over into the good stuff. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, the believer's authority. Every believer needs to know that.
Yes.
So anyway, he waxed great. So what does that mean? He increased. He went forward. So he moved along at a clip. He's moving. Nothing slowed him down. Okay, we conquered that. Okay, we did that. Okay, we did that. Now we're moving on to this. So The Hebrew says, now when it says he grew until he became very great, the Hebrew says that he became great, this is good, but he kept going until he was very great. So he became great. He got well. He got his healing, but he went on until he had divine health.
That's right.
Yes.
He got to the place where all of his bills were paid, but then he could pay other people's. He got to the place where all his bills were paid. He got to the place where he was out of debt with no regret, plenty more to put in store. He got to that place where he had a storage. He got to that place where he was okay. He got to that place where he could manage. He had people helping him manage stuff. A lot of people don't want to do that, but, I mean, we all are called to stewardship. Mm-hmm. We are, so, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, he didn't just stop. Do you remember that David was first, I hope I get this right. I believe this is right. David was first king of Judah. Is that right? And then Israel came along. They were separated. Remember when the kingdoms were separated? But he just didn't settle. He perceived he was king, and he kept going, and finally everybody came up under it. They kept under the influence. Finally, all the land, all the finances, all the promises that belong to you are going to come up under you. Once you perceive that you're like Isaac, once you perceive that you're right now in the boundaries of covenant, right now, you're staying, you are planted, you're flourishing, you're sowing seed, you're reaping your harvest, you're digging the wells, you're digging into the word, so you'll know what to do. And not, you're not just digging into your daily devotional that you remember for 10 minutes. You're like a bunch of Jewish people in a Jewish library, so, almost arguing over what you think the word means. It's like almost a daily thing around us. Well, this is at lunch Sunday, I just had to do it. I just threw out with these kids here that we all go to lunch with. I said, so what did y'all think about the Nephilim? I mean, it just went. But I was still right anyway. Praise the Lord. I believe that it is true. But anyway, so we have all of this. And we can have momentum. If we just do these four simple things. Stay put. Don't get offended. Don't get offended and start moving to the back row. Hey, we have no one on the back row. Oh, David, you're going to have to move. No, that's not the back row. That's Kim's row. The back row is way back there. Don't start doing that. Just tell yourself, get over it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm mad and I'm just going to go out and start something of my own. Well, it won't work. When you leave offended and go out and decide to start something under offense, it is not going to work. Doesn't have any good roots. Stay where you're planted. Sow some seed. Not just financial seed. Sow some seed in your heart. Sow some service. Sow some seed. Sow some other things. Talk to yourself. You'll believe you before you believe anyone else. Then bother to reap your harvest. Tell the Lord, Lord, now you know all that aliyah seed I sowed.
Yep.
And you know, then we sowed to KCM, and then we sowed to whatever that other thing, and then we sowed to this, and then we sowed as a group to this, and then we sowed to this. That's my harvest.
Yeah. Amen. It is.
And I have it, and I command it to come to me in the name of Jesus. Money cometh to me now.
Yep.
You're like, oh, that is so brash and so raw to say that. I kind of think the Holy Ghost did good when he said that to Leroy Thompson.
Yes, he did.
Because the body of Christ had to get over that. Y'all know the story. Just for the newbies, Brother Leroy was in line at the grocery store, and the man in front of him was buying a six-pack, and the man looked at him and said, man, money goeth. And Leroy said, sure does, and walks out. And the Holy Ghost arrested him and said, money goeth? No, money cometh
yeah.
to,
me.
to me now. And so he went through, he had this whole time frame where he reaped this whole harvest, and everybody who sowed to him, including us, reaped a lot of harvest in those days. But he helped, just like John Evanzini, helped pull people out of the ditch. It's a prosperity preacher. And they persecuted Brother Copeland over it for years. But we all just kept going.
That's right.
And now Brother Copeland is the biggest influence in the earth. He is. He is. Right now he reaches millions and millions and millions of people. And because of Flashpoint, there's really millions of people. We wondered how that would happen all these years, because we've heard the revival capital of the world back before we had cell phones. We're like, how are we all going to fit on the mountain? What are we going to do? Well, it's by internet. It's by TV. It's by all these. Brother Copeland, did y'all know Brother Copeland gave the first worldwide communion service? He figured up how to use satellites to do that way back when. Did you know that Brother Copeland had 700 radio stations at one time going? With his shows on them. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was doing that. God used Kenneth Copeland to get out in the front of this thing and lead us. And so we're those kind of people. You're that kind of person in your business. You're that kind of person in your ministry. We're like our fathers in the Lord.
Yeah.
So we'll sow seed. We know how to stay course. We don't quit. Mm-hmm. And we don't just obey. We're willing.
Yes. Yeah.
And we obey. Amen. Y'all receive this today? Praise the Lord. We'll dig those wells. I fully expect. I talk to the Lord about it every day. Lord, you know what happened in Pensacola. You know what happened in Toronto. You know what happened in Azusa Street. You know here we are right here. We're ready to break loose. I mean, we can have such a break loose here that they'll have to build new hotels around here. Open new supermarkets. Open new restaurants. Because we have such a breakthrough and a lineup of people wanting to get in for healing and miracles and signs and wonders. And that's what I'm believing for. And the Lord has already promised me that, like Simeon of old saw the Christ child, I will see the glory of God. And I don't think it's going to be me sitting on the back row in another city.